Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. And I've been teaching our young adults this summer, going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and there's been, I think this is the second time, a couple of thoughts and things that have stuck with me really kind of throughout the week. This is one that we'll take a look at this evening, but we're going to look at verse 17 and then chapter 9 and verse 1. Really going to zero in on two verses. Really, you could, the verse 17, they kind of in a lot of ways express the theme of the whole book. In chapter 8, verse 17, we see Solomon in his frustration, and then chapter 9 and verse 1, Solomon in his declaration. And so let's take a look at them and then get into it. Verse number 17 says, "Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. He said, I've tried to figure it all out, but I can't figure it all out." And that was kind of his life's journey, his life's endeavor. He committed himself to that. Then chapter 9, verse 1. "For all this I considered in my heart to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them." He declares then in chapter 9, verse 1, he says, "I considered in my heart even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." Dear Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Pray that you'd help us now this evening as we take a look at the scriptures together. Challenge us, Lord, encourage us, perhaps even through this. Whatever you see fit, I pray that I would rightly divide the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So Solomon, as we've said, he figured out how impossible it is for a man to know all the work of God, all the work that happens here under the sun. He had set himself to figure out all the mysteries of life, and yet he had fallen short. And really, in Solomon, we see the same desire that every person is beset with in some way. And that is the desire to know it all, to be able to explain it all. Except Solomon was a little different than us. He had wealth that none of us in here can comprehend. He had also wisdom that was given to him by God. There is a very specific, we can read about it in Solomon's life, and that how God gave him wisdom, how he asked for wisdom. And he had a unique level of wisdom that was looked at and marveled at even by other powerful people. He had those two things that he was able to apply to his pursuit of figuring things out, figuring out why this life is the way it is, figuring out how to make it work. Solomon, like all of us, like many of us, he sought for answers to be able to make sense out of that which didn't make sense. He wanted to figure out how to mend that which was broken. He wanted to be able to explain the inexplicable. Has there ever been something that you can't explain? Sometimes even an untimely thing that you can't explain, you'd love to be able to give an answer to it. He wanted to be able to protect those who could not protect themselves. He talks about those who are oppressed. And even as the king who presided over a kingdom and had great wealth, he realized there's only a limit of what I can do to prevent this, to keep this from happening, to keep this from taking place. He wanted to bring answers to the unanswered questions. What he found is that man does not have all of the answers. As a matter of fact, you and I, people, men, women, whoever, boys, girls, we don't have very many answers at all. A lot of life is like that. It's the unanswerable question. It's the unanswerable thing. He concluded, his conclusion to the book is in chapter 12 and verse 13. He says this, "Let us Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So listen, you're not going to, I mean, I'm just summarizing this in a very, pinpoint sort of way. He's saying, listen, you're not going to be able to answer all, you're not going to be able to answer all the questions of why and how and all these things and why does this happen and why does that happen. Here is what man's duty is: fear God and keep his commandments. In other words, understand that you and I live under the sun. We live on this earth and we live bound by certain things that are out of our control. One of those things that affects this earth is sin, the sin nature. And it's something that only God has a remedy for. And so the conclusion to the matter is to fear God and to keep his commandments. He was brought to consider all of this, and he declared a truth in chapter 9 and verse number 1. Now, sometimes if you've never studied the book of Ecclesiastes and you think, and you may know a little bit about it, you might think the whole book is full of depression and despair until the last part. Fear God, keep it. That's the kind of aha moment, the revelation moment. That's not really accurate. It's really throughout the book that he gives glimpses into this and he gives insight into this. And here in chapter 9, verse 1, he declares that the righteous, the wise, and their works are in the hand of God. We sang just a few minutes ago about the haven of rest. That's in the hand of God. That's the haven of rest. This is how to have peace, even in the midst of the unanswerable. There's a lot of things that are unanswerable, a lot of things that we cannot know, a lot of results that we cannot choose, we cannot pick, we cannot manipulate. But we can have peace if we know it's in the hand. It's in the hand of God. This isn't really connected, but in some ways, it connects to what preached last Wednesday about when we see Jesus at his judgment seat. You know what we should do now? We should live in such a way where it's in the hands of God, where we commit our works into the hands of God. I want you to notice to contemplate a few things this evening. First of all, I want you to note the station of the righteous man. The station of the righteous man. Quite simply stated, here in this verse, he says, the righteous and the wise are in the hands of God. We know that from very plain scripture that righteousness, that we're not righteous within and of ourselves. You know, we're not, he's not, there's nothing within man, there's nothing within us that earns or declares or is deserving of righteousness. Romans chapter number 3. And verse number 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not one person within and of ourselves that fit the category of what he is describing here by ourselves. We're not righteous because we have made ourselves righteous. We are righteous because we have been declared righteous when we placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to the book of Romans chapter number 4. Quickly, if you would, the book of Romans, chapter number 4. In Romans, chapter number 4, I'll read verses 1 through 5. Take a look at them together. He says, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So in other words, if Abraham was justified, if he was declared righteous by works, then he would have the ability to glory within himself. Verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So righteousness, when we think of it, what it means to us is a person is declared righteous when they have put their faith in Christ. In other words, if someone's truly been born again, there's ever been a point of time in their life where they've trusted Jesus as their Savior, you know what the Bible says we are? We've been declared righteous before the Lord. Solomon points out in Ecclesiastes that the righteous are in the hand of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, which we've read already, Solomon expresses a truth that Jesus would echo nearly 1,000 years later when he walked the earth. Now, I'm not putting a time stamp on Jesus. We know he was God in flesh. But what I mean is when he was on this earth, he said this. In John chapter number 10, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Then notice what he says, "And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now, isn't it amazing how remarkably consistent the Bible is? You know, some people would almost act like there are some portions of the Scripture, like, say, maybe Ecclesiastes, that's almost like incidental. It almost doesn't, it's just there because it's neat. It's good literature. It's practical. It's helpful. But you know, the Bible says that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you see the remarkable cohesiveness of Scripture here, comparing Ecclesiastes chapter 9 to John chapter number 10, where Jesus is echoing exactly what he said here, which is the righteous are in God's hands. Solomon could offer comfort by this great truth. He's talking about all sorts of dark things in this book. I said it earlier, talking about those that are oppressed. You know, anyone who is normal, I'll just put it that way, whatever that means anymore, but anyone who is normal, doesn't like to see somebody else get bullied or get beaten down in some way. We don't like that. We don't appreciate that. And people should stand up for those that are. But you look around and you go, there's a whole world full of bullies. But Solomon said, "Hey, take comfort. The righteous are in God's hands." To those who are, he deals with those who deal with even untimely deaths and things of that nature. Things, he makes it very clear. As a matter of fact, in verse number 2, he talks about all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. He's talking about there's one thing that happens to them all. They all face death. He talks about the untimeliness of death at times. And you know what he says? How the righteous are in the hand of God. He could rest on that. He could draw comfort from that. You know, it's kind of troubling when you get to where Solomon was. Solomon pursued things through the realm of intellect. Let me figure it out. I want to understand it. I want to be able to have all of the answers. And he got to the point where the frustration of, when I mean by frustration, he got to the point where he goes, I can't do it. I can't figure it out. I can't understand it all. I can't have answers to it all. And you know, that's a tough place to be, but it's a peaceful place to be when you realize that the righteous are stationed firmly in the hand of God. You believe what the Bible says about the righteous? I'm talking to a Wednesday night crowd. Most folks here would give a strong profession of salvation. Do you know that according to the Scriptures, that means that you are in the hand of God? It means tonight that when you pillow your head and all of the thoughts and all of the strife and all of the worries and all of the fears that might beset you, and they may even come from real things, real things that you can't control or don't have any real say in, but they're real things that are happening, and all those things are there, you can pillow your head in peace knowing this, that the righteous are in the hand of God. And no man, the Bible says, can pluck them out of his hand. That gives us assurance about our eternity. We know we can't lose our salvation. We know we can't get away from it. We know that we can't be disowned from it in some way. But it also should give us peace as we now can live, as we sang, in that haven of rest, knowing that the righteous are in the hand of God. I read an article today, just it was a curiosity thing, talking about an our closest territory to Russia. Things you don't think about up there in Alaska. A lot of things go on up there you don't think about. There's an island out there that's about 2.5 miles from the Russian island. There's like territory disputes and all up in there, and there's about 80 people or so that live on that island. I think, man, what would it be like living there, kind of under the threat of, if they decided to do something, you're probably first. I mean, it would make sense to me. I'm no strategist, but hey, there, go there first if you want to invade. But you know what? You and I live under the onslaught of Satan. Right. Jesus talked about his church. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we can sleep in peace. And the man they interviewed, one of the citizens there, he said, everything's fine if we can sleep well at night. Well, you know what, Christian? You can sleep well at night. Why? Because the righteous are in the hand of God. No matter what might come our way, no matter what might beset us, we're in the hand of God, and we need to be conscious of that. We need to live there. We need to realize that nothing can touch it. He has the answers. He has the protection. Solomon sought out how to deal with these things through devices or through some sort of mechanical process. In other words, how do I prevent these things from happening? How do I keep them from happening? There's a lot of people that are beset with anxiety over, how do I keep these things from happening to me, or how do I prevent it, or how do I stop everything? The truth is, we know we can't. Deep down inside, we may not have the resources that Solomon has, but deep down inside, we've already answered the question. We can't. We can choose to either be in turmoil over it, or we can choose to live where we are, which is in the hand of God, if a person is righteous. Now, if someone's not righteous, you don't understand what that means, you need to get saved. You need to accept Jesus as your Savior, and you too can have that peace and assurance of knowing that you're in the hand of God. That is the station of the righteous. And now I want you to think about, number two, the steps of the righteous man. Talk about the station of the right. We are in the hand of God. Now the steps of the righteous man. Notice here, he talks about the righteous and the wise and their works. He kind of lists these three things separately. But he says the righteous, the wise, and their works are in the hand of God. It's good to know that we are safely stationed in his hand. It is also good to know that our very works are in his hands. Psalm 37 and verse 23. It talks about the steps of a good man. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Even our steps, which is how our work gets done, are in the hand of God. No one in here would stand up and say, I am a good man. We would think you're proud, boastful. Nobody would do that. We want to shy away from it. But you know, the Bible talks about a person being a good person. It talks about a good person. And you know what? I think if we determine to live by the Word of God, we can determine that, you know, we're doing our best to live good, to live the way that God wants us to live. And you know what he says for that person? He says their steps are ordered by the Lord. Their works are in the hands of God. The key is not to have everything figured out. That's impossible. Matter of fact, look at the last part of chapter 9 and verse 1. We read it, but just take a look at it. It says, no man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. You know, we can't figure out what's good or bad just from looking at it, can we? You know how we can know that? I mean, you think about man by himself, and you unleash man by themselves without any regard for the Scriptures, without any regard for God. You know what you get? You get the United States in 2022. You get people who are calling good evil and evil good, where they are trying to figure out things that require light in the midst of darkness. And see, we're incapable of knowing the difference, of knowing what's good and bad. I mean, literally, literally, folks left to themselves, they think that hatred is love, and love is hatred. And I could get into, you know, specifics about that, but they can't, we're incapable of figuring it out. But to the righteous and those who are seeking to walk with the Lord, the Bible says even his steps are ordered by the Lord. Amen. Solomon said that our works, the righteous and his works, are in the hand of God. Amen. So that means that, you know what, we're called upon. We're not called upon to do the sensational. We're called upon to do the faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, moreover, the Apostle Paul says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There's some people in here that never will attempt anything for the Lord because you've confused the Lord's work with a sensational work. But the Lord's work is not found in that which is sensational. It's found in that which is faithful. Now, you have to think about that for a little bit. But that's how the Lord's work is done. It's not done with the big and the wow. Now, isn't it great when God does the big and the wow sometimes? You know, there's times God chooses to do that. You can look at, you know, you can look at times in the history of our country where God does the big and the wow. The Great Awakening. I'll tell you right now, you can't really explain it, how it happened. You can't explain where it came from. You can't explain how it took place. You can give reasons. I teach classes and I talk about it and I give reasons for it, but you can't fully piece together even what happened, but God did it. And even historians that have any sort of balance and sanity to their assessment of things look at that Great Awakening and say that was the first uniting act in the what would be the United States of America. There are times that God does things like that, but do you know where the work of God is done day in and day out? It's done amongst the faithful, not amongst the sensational. And when we try to take the work that is supposed to be done faithfully and make it something sensational, then what we start doing is start taking it out of the hands of God and say, look, I think I know a better way to do it. I think I know a different way to do it. Listen, friend, what we want is our work to be in the hand of God. We need to do the work that God has given us to do and leave it in his hands. It's his work, it's his hand, it's his plan. So we don't get intimidated by taking a step for the Lord. Have a revival meeting coming up, and there might be something where, you know, it doesn't have to be in a revival meeting, but it might be something that the Lord nudges a heart about and says, hey, why don't you take this step? Why don't you join the choir? Pastor Townsley mentioned that. Why don't you do this? Why don't you volunteer to help here? Why don't you do that? And you think, well, I can't do that. There's someone else that can do it better. There's someone else that is a bit more talented at it. Listen, just do what God has put in front of you to do and leave it in God's hands to take care of. Put it in his hand. Put it there. Find what he would have you to do and do it with all your might. Remember that the requirement of a steward is not that they be found sensational, but that they be found faithful. Because very often those who are sensational can't help but get the attention themselves, and really it's God that should get the glory for whatever is done. We need to remember that the work of the righteous man is in the hand of God. Sometimes you can toil and you can labor, and anyone who's done anything in the ministry, and when I say that, I mean for the Lord, you've genuinely served the Lord in some way, on a bus route, a Sunday school class, working with youth, working with music, whatever it might be, you can feel like the toil and the labor is there, but just nobody hears it or sees it or understands it, or it doesn't seem like it's effective. Listen, be faithful to the Lord and put it in the hands of God and realize it's in the hand of God and it's his business to do with it as he sees fit. So we see the station of the righteous one. They are in the hand of God. You can rest there. We see where our works are, the steps of the righteous man. It's in the hands of God. Even ordering our steps to where our work is his, and it's in his hands. It's not about me, it's about him. He controls the outcome. He controls all of that. I just need to be faithful to him. And then thirdly, the stability of the righteous man. I pointed out the last part of that verse. Talks about what we don't know. I mean, you would think that we could figure out the difference between love and hatred, don't you? You'd think we could figure out, you know, we could figure that. Truth is, there's a lot we don't know. But in God's hand, we don't have to worry about what we don't know. Because no man knoweth either love or hatred, but God knows. God knows. James warns against the unstable man in James chapter 1 and verse number 6. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You know, there's people who are children of God that are unstable in their walk with the Lord. Why? They're not resting in the hand of God in their walk. Now, we've been put there. We can't lose that. We're positionally there, but in our day-to-day walk, as we put one step in front of another, we're not committing any works to the Lord. He said, commit thy works to the Lord, thy thoughts shall be established. We're not committing any works. We're not leaving it in His hand. We're not resting in His hand. And you know what that creates? That creates a person that's blown about by every wind that comes their way. You know what the Bible describes in the Psalms? I'll read you. It's a familiar psalm to you. Psalm 1, one of the most famous psalms. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In verse 3 it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Trees are amazing things, aren't they? They can grow, and they can stand the test of time, and they can endure a lot of things. It's amazing just to see where they can grow when they get those roots to water, and when they get firmly established. That's how God describes the righteous one that is in the hand of God. It's God's desire to see folks planted and established, not blown about by every wind. See, that goes back to faithfulness, right? You know, it's not our place to quit every time the results don't match what we think the effort was. It's not our place to fold up a tent and move on just because it got a little bit difficult and a little bit hard. You know what we should do? Commit it to the hand of God and say it's in His hands. It's there for Him to carry out. I can guarantee over the years of Pastor Mrs. Townsley being here, there's been many days where they've had to say, you know what? I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but it's in God's hands. It's in God's hand for it to come to pass, for it to take place. Our job, in short, is to do God's work and to leave it in God's hands. You know, we're doing God. When a righteous person, a saved person, is right with God, you know, we're doing God's work. It's His work on earth. It's our job to leave it in His hands. We don't have to waver or change with every whim. We need to live with conviction that God's hand is the safe place to be. He says, the righteous, the wise, and their works are in the hand of God. What do you need to put in His hand this evening? What is there that you might be thinking and worrying about and distressed about, going, I don't know, I don't know the answers? Solomon will tell you, you're not going to figure out all the answers. You're not going to be able to figure out how to fix it all. What is it that you need to just kind of offload, or you go, nope, I'm not going to carry it anymore. It's in the hand of God. It's His to do. It's His to take care of. It's His work. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be stable. I'm going to be established. I'm going to have roots that are deep. I'm going to be unmovable. I'm going to be unwavering, not because of myself, but because of where I am rooted. I'm not going to lose another night's sleep worrying over it. I'm going to lay it down and rest like one who's in the hand of God. You know, there's probably somebody that needs to tonight just say, nope, I've been carrying it, and it's really become sinful because I've been carrying it instead of letting it be in God's hands where it's supposed to be. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's somebody you know that you could pray for. But the challenge is simple this evening. Put it in God's hands. You see, you hear people say that sometimes. It's almost a cliche. Put it in God's hands. It shouldn't be. Solomon says, the righteous, the wise, and their works are in the hand of God. Dear Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us.